I'm going to share a message with you today. This message is straight from heaven. It is actually as a result of this gentleman I'll share with you and his lovely wife. That's Dr. Charles Indefon and his wife, Donna, Dr. Donna Indefon. We also know him as Apostle Charles. So this message is a message of power. It's not power, it's your power. This message is a message of your power. It's entitled Eternity Now. I'm going to talk to you very plainly about it from what I understand. I pray that the Holy Spirit will give you revelation to what I'm saying, that it catches on and that you're able to lift up higher and walk on water with it in Jesus' name. Let it be. So this message itself concerning eternity, I believe if you have any problems, the solution is revealed in eternity. If you have any dreams and there have yet to be manifested, I believe the bridge of your dreams is revealed in eternity. You know how a bridge works, right? It connects point A to point B. My goal, and I pray that God allows me to communicate it only as he would. Nothing more, nothing less. Apostle Charles has been in the ministry for 36 years. He had gotten a hold of the love of God when Till Osborne had come to Nigeria. And his life, he cried for 3 days. He saw Jesus. Jesus walked into his body. And then from that standpoint, it's been miracles ever since. We have 36 years of demonstration coming through this message to you. He has traveled over 90 nations, over 10 million people impacted, 100,000 people in the country of Denmark, bona fide, documented miracles by television, books, newspapers, and magazines. And it is just amazing to see Jesus in our day. And that's why we're here, nothing else. We're here to manifest the life of God's only begotten Son, Jesus. You know, people say, have anybody ever said this to you? Be good. Now, you be good now. You ever hear that before? Well, when you think about it, what did Jesus say about that? Who is good? Only God is good. If someone says be good, then they're telling you to be God. You hear me? It's okay to be God. In other words, it's okay to love like God loves. He gave us the authority. Check it out in John chapter 17, verse 2. To love like he loves, not to rule over people, but to love like he loves. John chapter 3 and verse 17 says, I've not come to condemn the world, I've come to save it. Jesus is the mercy of God in man form. There is no other relationship where we could stand justified before God outside of Jesus. We enter through Jesus, the strategic door. In the presence of God, we stand. But to say so forevermore, we must become the mercy of God for others in a hurting world. It's not good enough just to receive his mercy. You have to also be a conduit of his mercy. Okay, this is what God has revealed to me in these years. So I'm going to talk to you about this. I love you. I praise God for you. And I only mean the very best. So when it comes, if you could turn, change the slide. When we talk about eternity now, we go to this power school. It's 7 days. And I'm telling you, in 1 week, it's like 5 to 7 years in a Bible school. We had a gentleman from Howard Rodney Brown's church, him and his wife, who had gone through their entire 3-year curriculum, come to power school because Philip, who is Apostle Charles' son, but is actually in, I think, his second year now at the River Bible Institute. And so they got a chance to talk, and he was telling about what the power school is about. And he was intrigued, so he said, I'm going to go there. Well, his confession was, wow, this is, it's on another level. So you'll see some of that today, okay? So buckle your seat buckles, here we go. So when it comes to eternity, the warm-up, this is just a warm-up from the first night it's not even all that was shared, but just some of it so you get a perspective on it. I'm going to move pretty quickly. If it's hurting, if it starts to hurt to think, stop thinking and start drinking by your spirit. This message is being recorded. You can listen to it again. If you have questions about what's said, please, by all means, come and test the spirit by the spirit. You can ask me, ask Pastor Rhonda, and we'll search the scriptures, okay? Because that's what God has called us to do. In this case, what role does faith play in eternity? It's the questions that we're going to answer today. Also, what is eternity? Why does eternity matter? What role does eternity play in the dimension of time? How do we access eternity? And then what role does indoctrination play in eternity? What role does indoctrination play in eternity? And what role does eternity play in knowing times and seasons? Times and seasons. Okay, so we're going to answer those questions. So the question is, what is faith? And this is what he said up front in advance. It'll come back together as we get through the message today. But faith is a display of eternity. Faith is a display of eternity. They say you cannot see God and live. But faith manifests God's presence on earth. Do you understand that faith is, the fruit of faith is righteousness? And also the fruit of righteousness is glory. So faith displays eternity. We're going to go forward from there. Christ's realities are my possibilities. That means that what Christ has done as written in the scriptures is really my possibility. If he did it, so can you. That's what the scripture says. But you have to will it to be so. Jesus says, the things that I do, you'll do in greater, for I go to my Father. So Christ's realities are my possibilities. So whenever I discover a new reality of Christ, I enter into a new dimension. Whenever I discover a new reality in Christ, I enter into a new dimension. Notice this. You're literally one revelation away from your next breakthrough in life. One revelation. Today, I declare, you get revelation and breakthrough today in Jesus' name. So when it comes to eternity now, religious limitations are worth considering. This is what he said up front the first night. That's Apostle Charles. He says, I've come to realize that not all pastors believe their Bibles. I'll repeat it. He says, I've come to realize that not all pastors believe their Bibles. He said, many pastors want to edit the Bible because they cannot prove what it says. So they change their theology to fit their tragedy. For example, someone they pray for may die. So they conclude that the Bible doesn't work for everybody. That's not good. I said, that's not good. Do you know what I mean when I say that? That's not God. The entire message of the entire full week of this power school titled Eternity Now stood on the foundation of this scripture, Isaiah chapter 57 and verse number 15. And I'll read it. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Now, when you hear this, I'm going to point out the key point that he brought out, but I'd like you to catch this. With him also, it says, God abides in eternity, but with him also, it says, the him that is of a contrite and humble spirit. That's the same as in Psalms in chapter 51 and verse 17. Do you remember when David sinned? That's right. When David sinned, he just humbled himself before God and said, I'm sorry for doing that with Bathsheba. I repent. He turned his face to God. You see, that means that that person that does that, that has a heart that way, also gets to abide in eternity with God. But then notice this. But why? It says to revive the spirit of the humble. That's why when I say Jesus is the mercy of God in human form, we enter in to go to his presence. But in order for us to stay there, we must become the mercy of God for a world that's hurting to know him. It says it right there, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So that means we are to encourage one another, like Seth did today with his worship before God and us. Or shall I say before us, where God is watching. You see, that's what it means, right? We are here for that purpose. So now, back to what he was saying, the key point he pulled out of that entire scripture was this. He says, in the beginning, it says, and that verse, it says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. That inhabiteth eternity. That means abides in eternity. So the next slide says, what is eternity? Eternity is seemingly endless or immeasurable time, the quality or state of being eternal, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary. He says God is limitless. Therefore, he says, the Webster's dictionary definition of infinite does not fully capture the definition of what eternity means, because their definition is limited. Why? How can you describe what you don't know? So those who are writing the dictionary definition of eternity do not actually know what eternity is where the scriptures are concerned. So that brings a question to mind, you know, like, okay, if they know what they have to make a definition of something, but is that definition limiting? So answer this question. How big is God? How can an unlimited God live in something? Think long and hard about this one. God inhabits eternity. If your goal is to find him, the Bible says, Matthew 7:7, seek and ye shall find. If your goal is to find God, you'll find him in eternity. So you're starting to see the relevance of how important eternity is to our overall assignment and destiny and walk where we are here now. So as far as the definition of eternity, we're taught that eternity is outside of time. Isn't that right? So he says, consider this. Every human that has been born has struggled with time. That is a time factor, meaning humans run out of time. Emperors want to be worshipped as immortal, but then they die. Living forever is the cry of people. The rich cannot buy eternity. So what is eternity? And then faith is the display of eternity. If you're actually going to enter eternity, you could never do so without faith. So if your goal is to enter eternity, faith is your doorway. You're starting to see the relevancy here. So eternity is a place where time is suspended. Now, this is going to start rocking your mind, okay? Now, Brother Barry, I remember probably 10 years ago, I was standing up here, and I don't know, I said to you, God can give you a new past. And you looked at me like I needed a checker from the neck up. I'll repeat this. He says, eternity is a place where time is suspended. There is no longer relevant. Time is no longer relevant when eternity is in operation. So how long does it take for a baby to be born? Anybody know? No one's had a baby yet? How long did it take you?
Too long.
Too long. Good answer. God bless you, child. Too long. That's right. But they say it takes 9 to 10 months to have a baby, right? And the baby grows, and then the eyes are formed, and everything catches up, right? A lot of time, we don't pay attention to the condition about time in terms of what the Bible says. We see the time, and we think we got it dialed in based on how we've grown up and what we've been told. But take a look at this scripture in John chapter 9 and verse 6. It says, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay with the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. You see, the eyes in this man's head in the scripture passage which made whole immediately. So when you make a baby, it takes 9 to 10 months, and it takes that long for the eyes to be formed. But Jesus actually made those eyes immediately. So the point here is, when eternity invades time, all time stops. So you have a revelation of that demonstrated in the scriptures. Amen? So now let's talk about dimension and time. Do we really understand the dimension of time? This is breakthrough if you catch it. Let's take a look at Isaiah in chapter 66 and verse 7 through 8. Before she travailed, she brought forth, before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in a day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her child. That's what the scripture says. What this is saying is, if you're not otherwise mindful, we often do not pay attention to what the Bible writes about time because we have been conditioned since birth to think that's just the way time is. Let's consider Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11. It says, for everything is possible, appropriate for in its own time. But though God has planted eternity in the hearts of men, even so many cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. So God has planted eternity in the hearts of men. I'll say it again. God has planted eternity in the hearts of men. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven does not come by your careful observation, as to say, here it is over here, over there. Why? For the kingdom of heaven is where? Within you. See, this is standing on the shoulders of what Jesus said. It says that God created you and he put eternity in you. God lives in eternity. Are you catching this? If he lives in eternity and eternity is in you, this means you can produce whatever you want now with an exclamation point. Are you catching this? You see, when I saw Apostle Charles operating, he got up on a stage and I had my Bible there. I was there with our spiritual son who has a radio program. I didn't even know what Nutripoli was. I've been here all these years. I didn't know Pastor Gene or Living Stone Fellowship, but I just knew that our spiritual son was there and he was having a radio program and he had had it for like 8 or 9 years at the time and I'd never participated in his radio program. So I said, I'm gonna come and bless him and surprise him. But when I got there, this man comes up on stage and he looks at his watch. He says, I don't have time for this. He says, I can teach the word tomorrow. He says, there are 13 people here right now with deaf ears. They have issues with their hearing. Come up on stage right now. And it, sure enough, 13 people came up. There were 300 people in the room. And every one of them got their hearing. Some people were born without hearing. You know, in other words, no components for hearing. They got it manifested right there that night. You can produce whatever you want now. I said that the explanation is the cure. I was wondering in awe, like, how did he do this? Now I know. What I'm going to do is I'm going to share a quick excerpt. It's about 2 minutes, but just as far as this one example of what I'm talking about, eternity now. Because sometimes they say seeing is believing. Well, hearing is believing too. So listen to this, okay? This is a little quick excerpt on this.
Now, God lives in eternity. And he plans eternity in you. You can produce whatever you need now. Come to a blind eye. I did that in Mongolia. I said to them, everyone that is blind in the stadium, they all came. I said, I'm going to count to three. All of you receive your sight. Over 200 people. One, two, three. Over 200 people had their sight restored. Some of them had crusty eyes. Some of them had, they were so blind. One was a doctor that had been blind for 20 years. An old doctor, and his daughter was a medical doctor too. She was so happy. In the video, you see her explaining. He said, my dad had been blind for 20 years. He's still practicing because he became blind. He was one of the people that was healed. Instantaneously, the man could see perfectly. I didn't lay hands. I didn't talk. I didn't do anything. I just realized I can stop time. I can actually reverse it. Can I talk to you? Yes. Are you ready for that? You see, let me tell you, your face can begin to get younger. Your body can become stronger. It's a dimension. Can somebody say amen? But you see, if you don't understand this, what the teachers in church don't really teach us the realities. They just teach words. They don't give you the life. It's a big difference. We hear words. So somebody studies the thing. He knows how to get in the Hebrew and the Greek. I don't need Hebrew and Greek. I need the life of it. The point is not reading this book. Are you hearing me? The point is making this book come alive. See, the idea, somebody said to me once, I said, man of God, we need to study the word. You need to study the word. I said, I don't study the word. He said, but the scripture says study to show yourself approved. I said, he didn't say study to know. He said study to show.
That's right.
Not to know.
Yeah.
Knowledge is useless if you can't demonstrate. So I say to them, the idea is not to study it to know. It's to enter the book and give the book life. You're supposed to live in the word. Live in that book and let the book live in you. The book needs a human body to express itself.
Amen.
Can I have a big amen? Amen. Scriptures are useless if it doesn't come alive.
I wanted you to have a perspective on what I communicated in a couple of words from him directly. I'm not sure if you caught that, okay, but there's demonstration to prove that there's a there in reality and eternity and the possibilities. Christ's realities are our possibilities. And so if you are like me, when I was listening to this, I was sitting on the edge of my seat saying, wait a minute, I can become more beautiful, younger now? I was like, say on. I was all ears as I am now, and I think you ought to be too. I see some of you right now in your spirit. Because there's more. So what I'd like you to do is go with me to 2 Timothy in chapter 2 and verse 15. This is what he said. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Don't focus on the studying the word of God. To know the word of God. It doesn't say study to know. It says study to show the word of God. In other words, he said, knowledge is useless if you don't demonstrate it. You ever hear that before? You ever think about that? Do you understand that expectation is your faith speaking? If you expect to be able to be a Bible scholar and that's it, you know what a Bible scholar and walking is? It's called Jesus. Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, you think because you have the word of God, you have eternal life. Did you hear me? He says, I have something to tell you. You had the word, but you missed the man. You had the law, but you left off the spirit. It's one thing to have the word of God, and there's nothing wrong with it, but to worship the pages that are inspired, why not take the spirit that inspired the pages? Isn't that higher? So eternity points to ponder includes the idea isn't to study, to know, but to enter the book and to give the book life. You are supposed to live in the book and let the book live in you. The book needs a human body to express itself. I said this before. I don't know if anybody remembers this, but I was there reading my Bible, and I'm there all by myself reading my Bible. Nobody was around, and I heard, and I go, turned around, looked around, what? And I go, I start reading the Bible again. I said, whoa, and I jumped again, and I looked at the Bible and I said, and I put my face closer to the Bible. I said, then I got real close and I put the Bible right up to my ear and it says, help me, help me, help me. I said, what? The Bible was talking to me, and I looked at it, and I heard, help me. I said, help you do what? And I heard coming out of the Bible, I have no hands. I have no feet. Help me. Help me. I said, what? And then I said, Oh, and I looked at my hands. I said, I have hands. I have feet. And we made a deal that day. Because at that point, the Spirit came to me, and my feet and hands, eyes and mouth and ears went to him. Scriptures are useless if the scripture does not come alive. God created you and put eternity in you. You, when you walk into a place, you carry that life. Now give it life. Do you not know that what you focus on is genius? In other words, what you focus on produces life in the thing you focus on. Isaiah, I'll talk about this, but the ultimate is this. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. How do you lift Jesus up? The Bible says, enter into my rest. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, I will vow that they will never enter my rest. The next verse says, they heard the word just like we did, but it profited them nothing. Why? Because they did not mix it with faith. What does it mean to mix it with faith? Faith means following instructions. They heard it, but they didn't do it. They didn't give it life. God created the earth in 6 days. He created the seventh day for rest. What is rest? And what does that mean? And where are the handles to it where your life glory is concerned? It's this. Rest means this. You rest your eyes on Jesus. That's it. Problems in your life come from one place if they sustain. It's called reckless eyeballing. Putting your eyes where they do not belong. You know the song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So plain, so simple, and we know it. Why don't we show it? I declare unto you, no longer is that the case for you. Today, we shine his glory divine. Amen? So, take a look at this scripture. We have the scriptures, but in John in chapter 20 and verse 30, listen to what it says. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in the book. So that's saying that what God does is bigger than the Bible. Did you hear me? Walk in the Spirit. None of this interpretation is relevant or possible without the Spirit of God. Let the Holy Spirit do your listening today and confirm it in your heart, every way. Without revelation, we worship the book. People worship the book. The disciples did not even have the Bible of the New Testament. They were still writing it. So Peter couldn't say, according to me, in chapter 1 and verse 2. So you don't have to quote the Bible to me. I am the quote. Now, I didn't say that. Apostle Charles said that, and I just happened to search it out, and I can tell you the truth. He's right. Listen, if you believe in your heart that you lack anything, can I tell you the truth? You will never do the will of God. Do you hear me? If you believe in your heart that you lack anything, you will never do the will of God where Jesus is aligned. Jesus says, what happened when you went out and did the disciples? How did you fare with your food and all? He says, we did great. It all worked out great. Do you see? Matthew in chapter 10 even tells you, go, two of you at a time, and say, let peace stay in this place. And if there's a man of peace there, he says, don't concern yourself about taking an extra purse or anything. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 21 and verse 22. Ye have heard that it was said of them of old that thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Notice what Jesus says. He quoted Moses, which they quoted, but then he says, but I say unto you, I am the word, and I am talking to you. Stop quoting the Bible. Know that greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. Let him do your talking. You won't have to quote the Bible. You'll sound like Jesus. Does this sound heretical? We got some silence here. What he said was, become the word. Listen, when you become the word, no one can argue with you. Isn't that plain? Let's take a look at John chapter 10, verse 32. But he said unto them, the many wonderful things you have seen me do are from the Father. Which of these things are you killing me for? He said, I hear people say that I'm believing God for this and that. I don't believe God for anything, he said. If I have to believe God for anything, that means that I do not already have it. Can you see a higher dimension of thinking here? You believe to know. Listen to what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day that has been entrusted to me. Notice what it says. For I know whom I believed. When you believe, you only do that long enough until you know. And when you know, you show as the evidence of your knowing. The Bible says in Job chapter 28, verse 28, it says, fear of the Lord is wisdom, but to shun evil is understanding. How do you shun evil if you don't know how to do it? The only one knows how is God. And when you shun evil, it means God is working through you. I've gone beyond believing, he said. I know. How do I know? When you know, you go beyond believing. You come into knowledge of. When you know, you do not need to believe. You act on what you know. So consider this in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come into the knowledge of the truth. I'll repeat. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7, ever learning and never coming into the knowledge of truth. When it says coming to knowledge of truth, it's coming. It means coming into the knowledge, the demonstration of the truth. If you know these things, but you don't show these things, then it says there's a way that seems right to a man, but therein leads to death. In them, the prophecy of Isaiah says in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 14 says, in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will hear and keep on hearing, but never understand. You will look and keep on looking, but never comprehend. That means you're like the idols you're worshiping. They're statues. They have hands, but they can't feel. They have eyes, they can't see. They have ears, they can't hear. Because when you hear the word of God and don't show the word of God, then you're like that statue. You're like the created thing as opposed to the creator of the thing. I tell you, God has created you to create like him. Let's consider John chapter 14 and 3. I mean, is this good? John chapter 14, verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. It's talking about the reality of dimensions. He says, where I am, you'll be also. So do you know that a finger can move things? It's not magic. There are dimensions, and then there are dimensions. See, you're living here, but you're not here. You are living here, but you're not here. This is not where you are. Your location is different. Physically, you are here, but you are not here spiritually. Listen, you know, for this reason, your spiritual location is always greater than your physical location. We're all here at Word of Life Church, Allentown, Pennsylvania. But if you look at what's happening spiritually, some of you are like, my gosh, I'm in the third heaven hearing this. I'm seated at his right hand. And some of you may be thinking about sitting at McDonald's eating Big Mac. It's the truth. I mean, you could have, it all depends on where you are spiritually. That's up to do with your intentions. So he was with the disciples when he said that, but the disciples were not with him. Jesus was operating in a different dimension in the spirit. In this dimension, you cannot be killed, he said. If you catch this, in this dimension, you cannot be killed. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, walk in the spirit. It says, now there is no condemnation of those that walk in the spirit. What does that mean? There's no death. John chapter 10 and verse 18. No one can kill me without my consent. I lay my life down voluntarily, for I have the right and the power to lay it down when I want to, and also the right and power to take it up again. For the Father has given me this right. So listen how Jesus speaks. If you speak like this, religious people will get mad. Religious people tell you, well, be like Jesus. But when you start talking like Jesus, watch their reaction. They don't really mean that. He said they're liars. John chapter 6 and verse 63 says, the spirit gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The word I've spoken unto you are spirit and their life. So if you were to say to someone religious, the words that I speak to you is life, they will say, who do you think you are talking like that? Now, if you want me to be like Jesus, that's how he would sound, he said. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and are life. He would not sound like you. And he gave an example like, oh, Father, we want you to come. He says, this is not how Jesus sounded. Now, this sounds very nice, spooky and religious. It makes us sound like we're really working very hard. He said, when I prayed like this before, by accident, when trying to please someone around me, God said, what's wrong with you? Consider John chapter 8 and verse 54. Then Jesus told them this. He said, if I'm boasting about myself, it doesn't count. But it is my Father, and you claim him to be as your God, who is saying these glorious things about me. In other words, it's God speaking through him. I mean, if you think about it, if God can make a mule give utterance in words of understanding, and if it says in Genesis in chapter 3 and verse 8, the voice of the Lord went walking, his voice can walk in anyone. You worship him, Jesus said. You call him God. I call him Dad. It's a relationship. If I call him Dad, that makes me in his class. In the God class. This means that if you worship him, you should worship me. Okay, he says, now let's be nice. This is one of the reasons they killed Jesus. He called himself the Son of God. Why? Either you are his son or you're not his son. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, it says, now are we sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be like, but we know that when he appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him. Now, eternity now. Now, eternity now. We are sons of God, not when we are dead. So if I am a son of God, all that God is, I am. I'll repeat. So if I am the Son of God, all that God is, I am. I do not need to pray about it. Oh, Father, anoint me, anoint me. What? Because Jesus came, he has anointed me. Because Jesus came, he has anointed me. Listen to this in Luke in chapter 4 and verse 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and to recover the sight of the blind, to set the at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus came and said that he has anointed me. He did not say, Father, anoint me. He had a reality about him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He didn't ask for the Spirit of the Lord. He didn't allow anyone to prophesy to him. He was his own prophet. Are you the prophet of your destiny? In 1 John chapter 2, amen, and verse 27, listen to what it says. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and this and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. The scripture says that you don't have to receive the same anointing that Jesus has. You already have it. Listen to this in John chapter 1 and verse 14. And the word of God made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus came and said that the Lord has anointed him. In life, in spirit, we become what we behold. They saw the word become flesh, and they beheld the glory of the Son who became flesh, the word made flesh. Jesus didn't need a rhema word, a spoken word. He is the word. We are called to do likewise, become the word of God. Because you carry him in you, you can walk into a place and that place begins to prosper without speaking a word. Because of the life you carry. I said because of the life you carry, no words are required because you walk with the word you've become. John chapter 14, verse 9 says, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. And how do you say, show me the Father? Jesus is one with the Father. I am not going to be one with the Father. I am one with the Father. I am one with the Father through Jesus. I do not have to pray. He knows me and I know him. Consider Matthew in chapter 28 and verse 20. I'm speaking to your spirit this way, so you have to reconcile these scriptures in your spirit. So either these things are just far off, or there's glory here, you are for you. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, it says, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, remaining with you perpetually, regardless of circumstance, and on every occasion, even to the end of the age. I am with you is not a promise. It's a reality, he proclaimed. I am not separate from God. I carry him in me. I am one with him. I am not going to be one with him. I am one with him. Never he promised to be with me. He said, I am with you. See, living in eternity, we must start thinking differently. What is it that you need? What is it that you want? How can you get to the place where God lives in eternity? If God lives in eternity, are you there too? You live in a place now. God lives in eternity, not he will live in eternity. So eternity has present, was present for him to live in it. So if I live in Pennsylvania, it's already there now. Eternity is not something I'm going to attend later. Eternity is waiting for me right now, waiting for me to access. If you're living in eternity, the scriptures come alive to you. Is that making sense? So the question is, how do I access eternity? Let's consider John chapter 17 and verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee and the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Everlasting life means uninterrupted life. What does everlasting mean? It means that it lasts forever. If it's ever interrupted, it's false advertisement, he said. It is everlasting eternal life. Eternal life, it must be now. Eternal life, it must be now. When you have this revelation, listen, it releases a force field and everything around you begins to operate like that. Did you hear that? I'll repeat. When you have this revelation, It releases a force field, and everything around you begins to operate like that. Consider Luke in chapter 10 and verse 8 through 12. Whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come. When doing healing crusades in Jamaica, Apostle Charles arrived there, but at the same time, Louis Farrakhan had gotten there a few days before. There was no advertisement that was done at that time. So their team just got there, and they started to execute. They saw the first person that was sick, and they healed them, and that was the free advertisement. It became news. In other words, God knows how to announce you. So don't pray about things. Just find the first sick person and target their healing for them. This is your calling card. Bring eternity to them. They do not have to wait for it once you're there. Again, God knows how to announce you. Listen, this is only part of the first night, but I'm going to share with you just a quick audio dealing with offense. It's considering what are the blocks from keeping you from eternity. Stand by.
But so, Catherine, now, it was amazing, right?
Yeah, and the point about offense, I invite like 100 people, you know, during...
About
and some people, they were there, they were seeing all the miracle all over the place, and they were spreading the word that nothing happened. And I'm like, you kidding me? He said, there's nothing there. And I'm like, I was looking at the people.
I think they wanted somebody said that looked like they had not eaten, a preacher that looked like he has not eaten.
They were offended.
With holes in his clothing, said, oh, I'm humble. I serve the king.
Amen.
Come on. How do you represent your king? If I was serving a beggar, that's a different story. If I serve a king of kings, I think when they get to heaven, they'll have a culture shock. You need to adapt and acclimatize. We walk on gold where we come from. Can I have a big amen? How are you going to win the world if you can't even win yourself? Your mentality. They were offended, nothing happened. The dead are raised. Is that all you can do?
It's crazy.
Now, this is the next move we're going to do. We're going to just decide no sun for 1 week just to mess with them. Mm-hmm. Is that all? It's funny. Now, the thing is, because when you're offended, you can't even receive anything more.
Exactly.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Stay away from offenses. Dead yes. people don't carry offenses. If you want to get into the dimension of eternity, you have to die first.
If you'd like to enter into eternity, you have to die first. Minor details, right? Now, it sounds funny, but it's the truth. The Bible says, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ that I no longer live, and I myself no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the real life that I now live within my body is a result of my trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Also in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24, and those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 15 says, and he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. And Romans chapter 6 and verse 8, just to consider, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. So die now in order to appear in eternity where God lives. You see, that's, I'm going to share as we wind down here. No one knows tomorrow. Just to give you an example of just, you know, offense. It was talking about an offense that keeps you away from walking in eternity or in the spirit. And if you're offended at any point in time, know this, you have come out of spirit. You've actually, the Bible says in Psalms chapter 119, verse 165, Great peace have they that love thy law, that nothing shall offend them. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, it says, he keeps him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him, whose thoughts are often turning towards the Lord. So when they therefore were to come together, it's just, I'm going to read the scripture. It's in Acts in chapter 1 and verse 6 through 8. And it's actually, you ever hear somebody say, well, nobody knows the time or the signs, I mean, or the seasons. Who ever heard that before? It is for no one to know, right? But listen to what the scripture actually says about that. Acts in chapter 1 and verse 6 through 8. And again, this is actually bringing perspective to what we thought once knew, but what the word actually says. It says here, when they therefore were come together, they asked for of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. Next verse. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So I don't need to know tomorrow when I have the power of tomorrow in me. It's none of my business. It's none of your business. You have the power to do what? To change it. Times and seasons are in the Father's power, but he has given you his power. You ever think of that? You have his power. That's what the scripture says. So if you have the power to decide times and seasons, what are you doing with it? Read the book, he says. Stay away from being indoctrinated. In summary, you know, as we close this out, see, Pastor Rhonda, I could have talked about a number of things, but you said, Pastor Ralph, I'd like you to, could you talk about Power School? I was minding my own business, and you asked me to talk about Power School. Okay? See, Apostle Charles travels all around the world. He just came back from Budapest. He's going to Dubai next month, and Solomon's likely going with him. By the way, Solomon is our youngest son, and he's now 20 years of age. He's been actually in an internship with Apostle Charles for the last greater than 2 years. August 5th was 2 years. And he's abounding on all sides that you can only, you know, not only imagine, but get a perspective on the teachings here. But I'm telling you that there's more, you know, and never let someone else's revelation, even this revelation, be your ceiling. It's always the floor. There's always more. Go higher, because you have the Holy Spirit. And so in summary, what we discussed today was, what is the role of faith? What role does faith play in eternity? Faith is the display of eternity. And what is eternity? Eternity is really defining the relationship that you have with God. Eternity has nothing to do with time. It has everything to do with relationship. And when you catch this, it's actually greater than that. It's called revelationship. You know, where you have, in this relationship, God reveals you. In other words, do you know when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the consequence chiefly in their sin was they lost their eyesight? You know, their eyes were open. And they saw they were naked. That's why faith does not come by seeing. It comes by hearing. But when you hear the word, do you catch the picture? We also discuss, why does eternity matter? What role does eternity play in the dimension of time? How do we access eternity? You see, what keeps us from accessing eternity is offense. If you're ever offended at any point in time, you love something more than eternity. God is jealous for this very reason, for you. We're also taken out of eternity if we're indoctrinated. You know, the concept of deliverance is not about deliver from demons. It's never been that way. UPS is in the delivery business. They don't deliver your package from your house. They deliver your package to where it's going. Deliverance is another way of saying repentance. You know, repentance isn't a mournful thing. It is a turning your mind, changing your mind, turning your face to his face. So when you're delivered, there's constant levels of deliverance. Like today, some of you are delivered. I'm delivered in this message, meaning I get a closer look at him. I get to walk closer towards him, his face, because I have some revelation that I didn't have before. So this whole concept of how do we access eternity, we must beware of there are some things that we've learned in life that we have to unlearn to get into eternity. Test the spirit by the spirit. And then it says, what role does indoctrination play in eternity? But I'm going to share with you just a quick audio dealing with offense. It's considering what are the blocks from keeping you from eternity. Stand by.
Tomorrow, we're going to play a bit of the Montreal. How many of you were in Montreal? And you guys been to Montreal also? You remember what happened in Montreal?
It's crazy.
Crazy stuff. You're from Montreal, right? Are you from Canada?
I was from Montreal, but I was told not to go to your
place. Come on, tell me the story. Come on, Nicholas. You were in Montreal when we came, and you were told not to come to my meetings.
So I was a brand new Christian, and I went to the sister church of where you were. Mm-hmm. So you went to Emmanuel, and I was at an unnamed church.
Uh-huh, unnamed.
And people were talking about the miracles and stuff like that, but the people who were kind of mentoring me said, we went, don't go, he thinks he's something else. They said people carry his Bible. He doesn't pray. He just tells people what to do. He tells people get up. He tells people walk. He don't go, don't go. So I didn't go.
This is hilarious.
I should have gone.
You said I should have gone. This is hilarious. So they were telling you don't go, don't go. They carry his Bible. I love this. They carry his Bible, and he thinks he's all that. And it sounds like a bunch of whiners. No, I love them, but my goodness, grow up. It's not about you. It's about the gospel of the kingdom. Can somebody say amen? It's kind of interesting, you know. And the thing is, you missed all the fun. Now, Catherine, come. Tell him what he missed.
Well, you missed 20,000 people. Came in 30? It was 30? Yes. Oh, yeah. My God. But the last night,
what happened?
The lady with her eyes, she have a glass of eyes. And you say, take that off. And I'm like, oh, my God. She say, but it's not pretty. And also she take that off. And all of us, we saw the eye pop in her face. And I said,
and that was what you missed.
See? 1,000 people healed.
It was glorious. In fact, when we were leaving that night, they had wheelchairs abandoned all over the properties.
Yeah.
So you're going home, there's a wheelchair there outside on the road.
Wow. Really?
Not in the hall, on the road. They took pictures of it. And they tell you, don't go there. Let's go to the dead religion and hang out.
Crazy.
I'm so glad you came to Power School.
Amen.
It's amazing. God is moving, and then you tell people, don't go there. All they are doing, and Jesus said, does this offend you? Do you know why offense happens? It pushes you over one side or the other of the fence. You can't stay in the middle. Yes. Offense will push you this way or that way. Jesus said, offense needs to happen. Why? Because you have to decide, do you believe God or not? You can't hang it, I believe in God, but no. Some things are going to offend you. But are you going to look at the offense, or are you going to look to Jesus? Amen. Does this look like Jesus? Yes.
Someone asked me on a radio program about a month and a half ago. They said, so Pastor Ralph, did you know you were going to be a pastor before you became a pastor? I said, I had no idea. Did you want to be a pastor? Absolutely not. And I'll tell you why. And I gave him a really horrible story I had when a preacher got up there and I was about 5 years old, my great-grandmother's funeral. And he was a hoo hoo and another thing, and a hoo hoo hoo. I don't even know. You don't have to understand that, but neither did I at the time, but it was very scary. Never will I be that. Okay, so that's why I don't do that up here. No. If you can't put the two and two together, I'm not going to say it. But ultimately, they said then, did you learn anything since you've been a pastor that you didn't know before you became a pastor? I said, yes, I have. And they said, well, what is it that you learned most? I said, the oneness of God. They said, explain. I said, one, if God ever desires to get anything done on this planet Earth, he works through one. I said, I can prove it. You ever hear of a gentleman by the name of Edison of Thomas? I said, he had 10,000 experiments. And he got breakthrough, and that was well over 100 years ago. And through that time till now, the entire world has walked through that doorway that that one man opened up. Think of Adam. He opened up a doorway called fallen nature, and all of us fell with him through that door. And think of the second Adam, Jesus. And because of him, so here's the point. God leaves the 99 for the one. Why? He only requires one. And furthermore, when you add 99 and you add one to it, what do you get? 100%. That means whole. A kingdom divided cannot stand. God's smart. He knows what he's doing. And then it says, what role does eternity play in knowing times and seasons? Eternity rules and reigns over times and seasons. You have the ability to change your season. But how do you do that? Change your purpose. Nothing ever outlives its purpose. A person who's dying, someone says, Pastor Ralph, can you pray for this person? They're dying. I have one question for you. Do they know their purpose in the kingdom of life and the kingdom of heaven here on earth? What is their purpose to advance the kingdom of heaven here on this earth? If they don't know it and they don't have one and they're not interested in fulfilling it, it's nothing to pray for. Do you see? But if you have a purpose to advance the kingdom of heaven here on this earth and you're in full agreement to fulfill it, there's no power on earth or in heaven that can stop you from fulfilling that purpose. Can I get an amen? Okay. So I'll finish up with, the big picture is I'll finish up with this, and that is God loves us. He loves you. I pray that you catch this revelation even by what was shared with you. I would like to thank Pastor Rhonda because, you know, this message could not be preached just about anywhere. You understand that? Apostle Charles even says, we don't do this. We go around the world. We preach the gospel, get people who are fisher of men, so to speak. But he says he doesn't go to this level with people because, they're not prepared to hear it necessarily. So, but the people that come to Power School are anyone interested in coming to Power School? Next won't be in January, third week in January, Monday through Sunday. They have it every 6 months accordingly, respectively from there. I'm telling you, this is rich. It produces life and abundance now. And remember, anybody interested in getting younger today? I mean, I sat in Montreal, Canada, and there was another teaching witness here about that. I won't share it with you, but it's a little snippet. I saw, who wants to lose weight? People raised their hand. And then, listen, one woman, they got a scale. So, all right, everybody wants to lose weight. Come up here, weigh yourself. In Montreal, and they came up, weighed themselves, and he says, okay, ready? Right now, on the count of my, when I do this with my hand, okay, you're going to start feeling burning sensation on your stomach, and you're going to lose weight. Well, in 5 minutes, one woman lost 60 pounds. Her clothes, she had to hold them up like this, and she came up with the microphone crying. She says, I have this illness. The doctors have to do surgery, but they started to do the surgery, and they said they could not because I had too much fat around me. But I just lost 60 pounds, and they had the thing before and the thing after showing it. Another gentleman who was 18 years of age, he was overweight, was a football player. He actually lost 35 pounds. He actually came back the next day wearing clothes he couldn't fit before. In other words, there's no limit. When it says nothing is too hard for God, and the difference between the average demon and the average Christian is that the average demon always obeys God. I said the difference between the average Christian and the average demon is that the average demon always obeys God. What about you? You can obey God if you want to, okay, when you let his will be your will. So I will finish up in prayer. I love you and I praise God for you. So let's bow our heads. Righteous Father, we thank you so much for your love and favor and the privilege to be able to share your word as I've received it, you've given it to me. And Lord, bless those that hear it and put it to use. Lord, give them revelation even at 3 a.m. to know that you love them and that you've equipped them. They lack nothing. They can do all things through you who strengthens them. Father, bless this establishment here at Word of Life Church to be able to remain strong and tall. But open up the gates, Lord, for others to come into it, to be able to do your will, to learn more how to do it. And let us be demonstrators of your word in everything. We love and honor you and praise you above all in Jesus' holy and matchless name. Amen.